Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 9. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now I've read with you scriptures that give to us the sevenfold characteristic of the Spirit of God and the sevenfold activity of the Spirit of God. You will have noticed that we read of the Spirit of life, verse 2. The Spirit of God, verse 9. The Spirit of Christ, verse 9. The Spirit of resurrection, verse 11. The Spirit of adoption, verse 15. The Spirit of witness, verse 16. And the Spirit of first fruit, verse 23. D.L. Moody used to say that he would rather be in the 8th chapter of Romans than with Adam in paradise. And so would I. In this eighth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, he takes us into the chariot of grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And we fling out the challenge to every foe. It starts with no condemnation. It continues with no accusation. And it ends with no separation. It's delightful to be in this chariot of grace. And before we look at the sevenfold features and characteristics and activities of the Holy Spirit of God, I would call your attention to the first verse of this chapter and the third. You will notice in the first verse, there is no condemnation You'll notice in the third verse there is condemnation. The no condemnation in verse 1 is our condition having trusted Christ. But the price of that blessing we have in verse 3. He bore that condemnation for you and for me. I was in Europe in May with my sister Lois, and we took a little trip to Switzerland. We went to be in Holland for a while. But we went to Switzerland and to Zurich. And there we met a dear brother in Christ we had known, Brother Eeyore. Any of you have ever seen him, you'll recognize that he looked just like Abraham. I've never seen Abraham but then. And he wasn't very well since then. He's gone to heaven. So I'm very glad that we paid him a visit. He was so pleased. But leaving his home and traveling on, we had in our possession a number of tracts. A tract that he has written. And he gave me some in German and some in Holland language and some in English. Of course, I could read all three of them. I only read it in the one language, however. Not telling you which. But it's a thrilling story of Persia. There were two brothers who lived in a cottage alone by themselves. Parents had died. Parents were saved, but only one of the sons had followed in the footsteps of the godly father and mother. The other brother followed in the path of sin and shame and degradation. This godly son was in the cottage when suddenly the door flew open and his ungodly brother came in and said, hide me, the police are on my track. He knew in a moment what had happened. That brother had bloody garments on him. Swiftly he took those bloody garments off, exchanging with himself, hid his brother and then waited with the bloody garments on him. It wasn't very long, and the police came. He said nothing, they said nothing. They gave one look and said, here he is, the evidence is on him, take him in. And so he was marched off to prison. Justice is swift in that country. He appeared before the judge, the sentence was hanging. Till then he didn't speak. They asked him if he wanted to say something in his defense, and all he said was, I know I will have to suffer for this crime, and I'm willing to. Then he spoke. When the sentence was pronounced, would you allow me a favor? What is it? May I write a letter, and will you deliver it to my home when I'm dead? Yes. So there was parchment and pen, and he wrote a letter. And it wasn't until his body was hanging from the gallows that that letter was sent to that cottage, delivered into the hands of the man that was wearing his clothes. And he had the bloody garment. This brother tremblingly took that letter in hand and read, my brother, I was condemned in your I took your guilt upon myself. I am dead. I died for you. My brother, you wear my garments that have never seen pots of evil and vice. As I took your bloody garments, my brother, and died for you, Christ took your sin on him, made sin for you, condemned in your stead. You've received natural life through my death. Trust Christ, my brother, and receive eternal life. And as you have my garments on now, take the garments of righteousness that he so freely gives and live for him who died for you. I wonder tonight, is there anyone here under condemnation? Don't tell me you're not. If you're not saved, your hands are red. Blood is on them. Your sins nailed to Calvary's cross. The Son of God. You don't need to wait to find out whether you're condemned. The Word of God says condemned already. You're under the wrath of God. But oh, the good news of the gospel. Christ, the Son of God, God sending his own Son. Oh, the pathos of it. Oh, the love of it. God so loved, he sent his Son to the death you and I deserved, to the condemnation that was our due. And now, you have life through faith in him. And you have the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You are in him. And you can no more be condemned than he. This hand is in my body. What happens to me happens to the hand. You are in Christ when you trusted him. And as he is on the other side of death and judgment, you too, if you trusted him. But now comes the experience of the believer. The one who has trusted Christ. What does he need? Liberty as well as life. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free. No longer does sin have dominion over us. No longer are we chained to it as to a cart that we draw along to our destruction. We are set free, at liberty to love our Savior and serve him, something the law could never do. Dr. Scofield, roaming the fields of England one day, saw a fine specimen of a dog. He saw it in that creature. It didn't look like it. The dog was emaciated, hunted, haunted by the children round about, frayed. He captured that dog. Then he put a collar on the dog, bound him. First, when he tried to feed him, he snapped at him. But the time came when Dr. Scofield took that dog, took off his chain and the collar, let him go. With one bound, he went into the open field, then stopped, turned round, looked at his master, came bounding back, and licked his hand. The law of liberty. Once lawless, then under law, and then glorious liberty. We have been brought into that liberty by the Holy Spirit of God, snapping our chains, setting us free to serve our Redeemer, the Spirit of life. And then we have the Spirit of God, and we have power for pleasing God. And he is the one who is our power. We haven't it. Even though we are saved, the new man is very weak. It is the capacity, but not the power. The new nature is the capacity for pleasing God. But the Holy Spirit of God is the power. I had the privilege of hearing C.I. Scofield, the editor of the Scofield Bible, speak in Grand Rapids in the Mel Trotter Mission. I never forgot what he said. I was just a boy, and it helped me a great deal. I wanted to please God. I tried to please God. And the more I tried, the more I failed. And at the close of the day, defeated, I cry, "Oh, God, it's no use. What's the use trying?" And then I didn't try anymore. See, as Schofield said that when he used to go to school, there was a bully that liked nothing better than down him. And he used to fight, and he used to try to get the victory over this bully. He couldn't do it. And then he told of his distress to his brother, a big burly fellow. He says, go to school and I'll follow. He knew he was behind him. When this bully came, no resistance. He just let him take him and fling him to the ground. And he said, Tom! And Tom came, and that was the end of the struggle. In chapter 7 of Romans, it's I. And the old man is no, the new man's no match for the old man. Never. In chapter 8, we do not cry, Tom! But we leave the struggle to the Holy Spirit of God. And we have victory! Power! Through the Holy Spirit of God. And then it's the Spirit of Christ in verse 9, and that's character. Not only life, liberty, power, character. The Spirit of Christ. And as you gaze upon that blessed one here below, I'm sure that the longing in your heart is, oh, that I might be like him. It's only one way. Young lad adored his teacher, renowned artist. Only I can paint like the artist. Oh, that's my ambition. The artist died. He went to the widow and said, I hardly dare ask. I know you don't know me, but I love the artist. I love the master. And I wish you would grant me my desire. What is it? May I go in the studio and get the artist's brushes? I want to paint with the artist's brushes. Why, sure, lad, go in and get them. And so he went in. Oh, how happy! One day he came back disappointed. And the widow said, well, didn't I let you have those brushes? He said, yes, but I discovered it wasn't the artist's brushes I needed. It was the artist's spirit. We have his spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in us. Christ is in us. If Christ be in you, oh, what a salvation this is. Our brother said, I think it was last night, that what he was speaking about is the normal Christian life. You perhaps have heard people say, and perhaps you've been to conferences where they speak of the higher Christian life. There is no such thing. And I mean what I say. I'm going to wait till it sinks in. Normal Christian life is Christ living in you, and there's nothing beyond it. It's only possible in the power of the Spirit of God. But that's normal Christian life. Christ living in you. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. Next, the Spirit of Resurrection. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I mentioned this when I looked into a casket of our sister. I went home from Bethany Hall. In Detroit, Michigan is a large, old type Presbyterian church, right near the depot where I go when I take the Chesapeake and Ohio and transfer to the Pennsylvania. I love to look at that old building. A.T. Pearson ministered there for many years. One time they had a funeral.
And he looked down and he saw the pallbearers taking that casket. And he said to them, "Tread lightly, brethren. You are carrying that that was the temple of the Holy Ghost." And he's going to raise it again. I think it's wonderful. I think it's marvelous. You travel throughout the world and you'll find the temple, the glory of any city and any country. I was in Montreal, and having someone with me, I took a tour through the place. And the guide took us into Notre Dame and said, took us into this cathedral there, and he said, "Did you ever see anything like this before in your life?" "Oh, I've seen something more beautiful than that. In the eyes of heaven, there's nothing like the Lord's people, the temple of the Spirit of God." And then, the Spirit of adoption, verse 15. "We've received this Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." God, who sent His Son into this world to save us, sent His Spirit into this world that we might know the thrill of looking up into the face of God, our Father. Abba, Father. You've read in mythology the story of a young fellow who, with a group of boys, claimed that he was the son of the sun god, S-U-N. They questioned his claim. "I am," said he. "Huh, we don't believe it." He said, "I'll prove it to you." He went to his father. He said, "I'm your son." "Yes, son, you are." "They won't believe it." "Oh, they won't, but it's true just the same." "Yes, but how can I prove it to them?" "I know. I'll tell you what I want to do. Hand over the reins to me of this sun chariot." "Oh, but my son, you can't manage these horses." "But I want to do it, father." And so finally he handed over the reins to his son. And he drove that fiery chariot through the heavens. They got out of his power. Came too near the earth, and that's the old mythological explanation of the Sahara Desert. There was another young fellow. He said, "Father, I'm your son. I have the consciousness of it in my soul by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is the witness to my heart that I am your child, but don't believe it, father." "But you are." "Yes, but I want the world to know." "And father, I'll tell you what I want you to do. There are many children who have no father. I want them to know a heavenly father. I'm going to take them in. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to clothe them. And you take care of them, father." And George Muller received $17 million from his father to prove that he was his father. Anybody deny? Anybody question it? I have a class in Muskegon. Told you that. Been there for some years. Go there on Friday afternoon. We have two homes for aged Christians. We don't have a home for little top children, but we have the... My girlfriend is one of them, and one of them, Miss Shombe. She's 96, and we have a great time. You know her, don't you? Great time with her. That's my girlfriend. She wants me to sit beside her when I come in there, and I always like to do it. My sister has the responsibility. I'm just a board member. In the home in Spring Lake, she used to visit when I would go to Muskegon, pick her up on the way back. Pick her back. On this occasion, sitting in the car beside me, she was crying. I said, Grace, don't worry. Money will come in. It was in November, and November in Grand Rapids is different than November in Oakland, even than in Castlemont. And the furnace gave out. And the repairman said, it can't be fixed. You've got to have a new furnace. We didn't have money for a new furnace. Just enough to repair it, maybe. No money for a new furnace. Couldn't possibly be. And cold. And those dear women there. And I thought that's why she was crying. And so I said, well, Grace, I understand, but the Lord will bring it in. Oh, she says, Peter, I'm not crying about that. I've proved him too often. But the reason I'm crying is that last night it just seemed so real. Didn't seem like a dream at all. I was going down the aisle in the hall to the prayer meeting. And Mother, she's gone to heaven. Mother was behind me, put her hand on my shoulder and called me by the endearing name that she gave to me especially and not to the other five sisters. And she says, my darling girl, just look to your heavenly Father. She said, of course I'm doing that. And I was bawling too by that time. So the next day I came and said, Grace, what did your father do? She showed me a letter from Miss Shombe. She let me read it. She wrote and said, Bob Halliday has been in Detroit, ministered the word. And he preached on this text that we will receive by and by reward for deeds done in the body. And he said, you won't get anything for deeds done out of the body. When you can't use your money anymore, then you give it to the Lord. Give it while you're living. And she said, I thought of what had happened to my good friend who had expected that it would go to the Lord, and it didn't. And she said, here, I'm sending you something. And there were three zeros behind that figure that was ahead. I won't tell you what the figure ahead was. That's our Father. Can you trust him? Have you ever trusted him for a half dollar? Have you ever trusted him for a dollar? Have you ever trusted him? Makes me sick. These appeals for funds on the radio. As if our Father would let someone be in his business and not pay him. Buick would do better. Chrysler would do better. I'm a Dutchman. I don't care what you say about me either. I got a good father, and he never was a beggar and never will be one. He doesn't want his children to be one. The spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, prove to the world that you are our Father. And you'll take just as good care of us better than an earthly father would. How would I like my kids to go around the neighborhood begging for something? And say, well, Daddy doesn't take good care of me. The Spirit of God is here on earth. And he's active. He's doing something. And you'll give to every child of God the consciousness that he has a Father in heaven who'll never let him down. Never. My time's up. I'll give you the other two. The Spirit of witness. Verse 16 is fellowship. The spirit of first fruits is realization. We're going to be in heaven soon. How much of heaven have you got on the way? Huh? Are you enjoying heaven on the way? I preached one time, and I said to the folks in our meeting, oh, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of heaven on the way to heaven. A brother got me at the door, and he said, my, you made a big mistake tonight. You know the mistake? What do you think the stake was? Why, that I'm having a lot of heaven on the way to heaven.
Splendor, stooping to woo the wind. day when the last winds of sorrow have blown. There'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sin to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Oftentimes I'm forsaken and weary and sad, when it seems that my friends have all gone. There is one thought that cheers me and makes my heart glad. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sin to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sin to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for.
Childhood as a little